Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. I missed you all. I'm dying to get back into this. It's a beautiful day here in New England. And today for me was the first day where I walked outside and I really felt like, whew, the winter is over. It's getting warmer. It's lovely. A lot happening here at the Howie Carr Radio Network and at the Grace Curley Show. I'll tell you more about that later. We got a very special surprise in studio guest today. But I want to start with some good news. And then I'm going to tell you what I've been thinking about over the weekend, an idea I had today. The good news is the special election in Texas. It's actually great news because if it's a little bit of a sign for the future, we can all take a deep breath. Don't get comfortable, but things are looking up. The special election in Texas's 6th congressional district was because Republican Ron Wright sadly passed away in February. So they had two candidates who ended up in the top two positions in the open primary, meaning it will either way stay in GOP hands. And that's great news. But I'm a little torn on, because I was talking to Howie earlier today and I said, I'm a little torn now on what I'm more excited about. It's great that Jana Sanchez got trounced, the Democrat, but Howie made a point that I didn't think of, which is Michael Wood, who was backed by anti-Trumper Kissinger, got trounced as well. He only got 3% of the vote.
Kinzinger.
I'm sorry. I keep doing that. Kinzinger was a big anti-Trumper, and Michael Wood was following in his footsteps and thought, you know, because there's a civil war happening in the Republican Party, if you haven't heard. There's the Cheney people versus the Trump people. I'm kidding, of course. There's not. It's Trump country if you're a Republican. There's a tiny, tiny fraction of this group that thinks the future of the Republican Party is Mitt Romney. And if you saw him get booed over the weekend, you know why that part of the group is so tiny. But I'm happy about that. I love to see an anti-Trumper get 3%. 3%, not even double digits. That makes me very happy. But something I wanted to talk about today, and it's mostly because I think you guys, my listeners who I love, my callers have been fabulous. I think you guys could contribute a lot to this segment. And here it is. Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina, obviously got a lot of hate and vitriol thrown at him after his rebuttal to President Biden's address. And that was last week, and it was not the first time Tim Scott has been ridiculed and denigrated by the left. He talked about it in his speech. He said, you know, he's been called racial slurs mostly by tolerant liberals when he disagrees with them. And it happened again. And this time it's really bad. Actually, a Democrat called him, I believe it's a Democrat from Texas, called him an Oreo. And disgusting, horrible, unfortunately not surprising. Because the Democrats have a real habit lately of getting nasty. And I wrote a column on this in the Boston Herald this weekend. I'll put it up on the site. But the only thing is that I didn't have a lot of room to write the bigger idea here, which is I'm noticing a trend. Depending on how threatened the Democrats are by you and the media, if they think you're a real winner, if they think you can really change the future of the Republican Party, if they think you can really pull in some votes, if they think you're unafraid and unwilling to bow to the mob, they get nasty. They go below the belt. There's all tolerance gets chucked out the window in a millisecond if they think you're threatening their stranglehold on power. And of course, right now, the biggest example is Tim Scott. Glenn Kessler wrote a piece in the Washington Post where he talked about there's more to that tale regarding Tim Scott's background. And he tried to uncover some sort of inconsistencies. There weren't any. Tim Scott has an incredible story. His family, like he always says, went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. The Democrats hate that, and now they hate him. And so I started thinking, I'm like, you know, Tim Scott, he's a real winner. I mean, that's the only, it's like anything else. It's like when you're in school and the girls are mean to you and your mom says, they're only mean to you because they're jealous of you. In my case, that wasn't true. They just kind of forgot about me. But there are girls who get a lot of hate because the people are jealous of them. And when Republicans get real hate and no strange new respect, I always think to myself, I like that person. I like that person because the media hates them. And here are a few of my examples. Ron DeSantis, think about the things they've criticized him for. The way he eats his pizza. If they're attacking the way you eat your pizza, you know you have a great future in the Republican Party. You know they're running out of things, but they hate you. And it's an irrational hate. They don't even know what they're hating. So they look at him and they go, he folds his pizza. P.S. I fold my pizza. I think it's actually kind of the easiest way to eat it. We have pizza in the office. Maybe I'll do a little demonstration in the next segment. They hated that he worked with Publix, which is the most popular grocery chain in Florida. You can't talk to someone from Florida without hearing them heap praise on Publix. And they hated that he got old people vaccinated. They tried to come up with all these conspiracy theories, you know, it was pay to play. He only got the old white people vaccinated because they vote for him, not because they're the most vulnerable with COVID. And then, of course, the 60 Minutes edit job. That's another sign. If they're editing you to the extreme, if they're playing Martin Scorsese in the 60 Minutes green room, you might have a future in the Republican Party. Now, of course, the biggest example is Donald Trump, because they really let that spin out of control. They were writing about his ice cream scoopage, the ketchup on his steak, you know, everything, his hair, the koi pond, how he fed the fish. They made up stories. But there's a lot of examples right now that can give you a sign of who to look out for. And furthermore, who to trust. Because I don't trust the politicians anymore who kind of toe the line, the Lindsey Grahams, the people who get, you know, enough praise from the left and enough praise from the right. I don't want that. I don't. I want my candidates to be so powerful and so opinionated and so conservative that the media has to make up stories or edit their footage or criticize their pizza eating. And then I was thinking, there's tons of these examples. Like Representative Elise Stefanik from New York, she was tossed off the Harvard alum advisory board, and one actual paper in Albany described her as childless, as a dig. Like, it was so mean and so nasty. And you know why? It's because she's good and she's tough. Howie's had her on his show before. She's great. Clarence Thomas, he was described once as Uncle Clarence. You know why? Because he's good. And he actually is conservative, and they hate that. Scott Atlas. It doesn't even have to be someone who's elected. It can just be any expert or any public figure who they deem threatening to them. They ridiculed Scott Atlas. They pulled his stuff off YouTube. Well, someone said that he should have his medical license revoked. Someone in the COVID task force. Because they know that he undercuts their narrative. Mike Pompeo. Remember what Mika Brzezinski said about Mike Pompeo? She's a tolerant liberal. But she saw Mike Pompeo as someone who was messing with their ideology and messing with the media's narrative. And so she got nasty. And I love that, because I'm like, every time they do it, I think, all right, we got a fighter here. And with Tim Scott, they can call him Uncle Tim. They can call him Uncle Tom. They can call him Oreo. Just keep in mind, it's only because they know that this is a smart, strong candidate, and they're scared of him. And that's why I like him so much. So what I want to do now is I want to open it up. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the candidates, whether it's politicians or just public figures who you go, wow. I don't care if it's Caitlyn Jenner. I don't care if it's Randy Quaid, but just people who you go, you know what? That person draws such irrational hatred from these nuts that they must be doing something right. Sometimes your enemies tell you more than your friends. For instance, if Joe Scarborough decided today that he was going to do a monologue on how much he hated me, which first of all, he wouldn't, he doesn't know who I am. But if I came across his desk and he did a blustering monologue about how awful I was, I would call up my parents and I would be beaming. I'd be like, you know what, guys, I'm doing something right. So I want to hear who's doing something right. We will be back on the other side. We'll keep the phone lines open for this segment. We have Carol Markowitz coming up in the 1 o'clock. Very excited about that. 844-500-4242. Call in. Let me know your thoughts. We'll be back on the other side. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
But Michelle Witt says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick them.
Eric Holder, a.k.a. Obama's old wingman. It's just class, class, class from the Democrats. You know, I was talking to Howie today, and he said to me, if you're going to do this as a segment, you got to mention the woman who talked about Clarence Thomas and said, I hope his wife feeds him a diet and high in cholesterol. And I think it's such a wacky comment she made that we all kind of forgot about it. It was a while ago. I think it was like 1994. But still, you'd think that that'd be more of a known thing. So I said, what are you talking about? And then I went and Googled it. And it says it was Julianne Malvo. She's a USA Today columnist. And she said, you know, I hope his wife feeds him a lot of eggs and butter and he dies early like many black men do of heart disease. And then she said, well, that's how I feel. He is an absolutely reprehensible person. Once again, tolerance is key. Unity. Normalcy. And that the worse, like the more outrageous they get, the more I like the people they're talking about. Actually, I do want to play this cut because this was one of Mika Brzezinski's worst moments. And it kind of goes to show you that it doesn't matter how many masks you wear. It doesn't matter, you know, if you go to Harvard or Yale or how much money you give to NPR. If you're a hateful person, it's going to come out at some point. You know, the mask slips, no pun intended. Listen to this cut from Mika Brzezinski. This is a while back. She's talking about Mike Pompeo, cut 16.
I understand that Donald Trump doesn't care. Heilman makes a good point. He doesn't care. But why doesn't Mike Pompeo care right now? Are the pathetic deflections that we just heard when he appeared on Fox and Friends, is that a patriot speaking? Or a wannabe dictator's butt boy? Dead serious, I'm asking. Are these the words of a patriot?
Now, keep in mind, she did apologize for using the word, but she never apologized to Mike Pompeo. You know, she apologized if she offended anyone with that homophobic word, but she didn't get as specific as to say, hey, Mike Pompeo, I'm sorry about that. Because God forbid we issue an apology to him. Now, this is kind of funny. We were talking about the special election in Texas, which is great news. There's a lot of pieces out how the Democrats are going to get absolutely pounded in 2022. There's going to be a red wave. Now, I'll say this once, I'll say it a million times. Do not count on that. Vote. Tell your friends to vote. We got to keep up the energy and the passion in the Republican Party. But I think this story from CNN tells you a lot. So the headline is, Republican Susan Wright, Jake Elzey, advanced to runoff in Texas's 6th District special election. All right, so you're reading it, and they talk about how Jaina Sanchez conceded the race on Sunday and how it wasn't good for Democrats. Now, this is CNN. And then it says, an outspoken, this is, you know, the third or second paragraph down. It's one of the last paragraphs. An outspoken anti-Trump Republican, Michael Wood, ran on a message that put him far outside the mainstream of the GOP. Wood called for Republicans to reject Trump and stop perpetuating conspiracy theories like the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen and QAnon, which is frequently described as a virtual cult. And then they talk about how he had the backing of another anti-Trumper. And they don't mention at all the percentage of the vote he got. And I was like, wait a second, I must be missing it. So I scrolled up and I scrolled down and I'm like, I just want to see how much of the vote he got. Because everyone else, they say the percentage. And then I had to Google Michael Wood and it pops right up. Only 3%. I'm like, I wonder why they wouldn't mention that. They have a whole paragraph about all the things that he stood against. QAnon, you know, Republicans, Trump culture, all this stuff. No mention of 3%. And I just want to know, CNN, why?
Please clap.
We're going to go through some of this hate, including hate from Joy Reid. She called Clarence Thomas Uncle Clarence at one point, and Tim Scott, and all of this stuff. It's just, it's gross, and it really tells you that they're nervous. They're nervous, and they should be, because we've been told for the last couple years that the infighting is in the Republican Party, and it's not. It's absolutely not. The infighting is with the Democrats. The infighting is between the AOCs and the Joe Manchins. And that's going to become more and more clear as Biden pushes through his radical agenda. All right, today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. I had the founder of Covfefe on last week, an awesome guy. And this coffee is just so delicious. From the MAGA dark roast to their Drain the Swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. My mom is ordering some today. To order, go to doyoucofefe.com. It's C-O-V-F-E-F-E. doyoucofefe.com. Jared Diglia, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What excited you most this weekend? Jaina Sanchez lost, Michael Wood only got 3%, or Mitt Romney got booed?
Well, and we'll play the Mitt Romney getting booed on the other side. I'm going to say Mitt Romney getting booed, because I like to know that Republicans are all on the same page.
Congratulations. Willard Mitt Romney is in the first runaway election of his life. 89% say they are most excited about Mitt getting booed. Michael Wood and Jaina Sanchez polling at 6% each.
Congrats. Oh, and here's another headline. Opponents of anti-racism education win big in a bitterly divided election in South Lake, Texas. Conservative candidates who opposed a school diversity plan won every local race, taking about 70% of the vote in the wealthy Dallas-Fort Worth suburb.
Racism, racism.
There is so much pushback against this critical race theory and just this brainwashing of the youth. And parents are finally starting to go, you know, I don't know if it's the Zoom, Jared, that they saw enough of it themselves, but parents have had enough. And that's really when change happens, is when parents get involved.
I don't know if they won 70%. I would call that bitterly divided.
Well, you know, Jared.
That's quite the divide. I mean.
But you don't write headlines for CNN or NBC News, okay? Stay in your lane, Jared. Guys, we'll be back on the other side. We'll take all your calls. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
And we will cross this divide.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
You know, besides the talk of the Civil War inside the Republican Party, which you knew was just a complete BS narrative, and I'm going to get into that in a second, but another BS narrative that is quickly falling apart. This is from ABC News, okay? Home of George Stephanopoulos and other, I wouldn't describe them as Trump supporters, you know, other left-wing Democrats with press passes. ABC News says 23% of Americans think the country has become more united since President Biden took office. I'll repeat that percentage number. That's 20 percentage points more than Michael Wood managed. 23% of Americans think the country has become more united. 23. Now, this guy ran on unity. This guy ran on, you know, coming together. What was the cut you played of Bruce Springsteen? We're merging this bitter divide.
And we will cross this divide.
Well, it turns
between
out.
Red and blue.
It turns out the divide between red and blue, Bruce Springsteen, has actually gone worse. Who would have thunk?
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that I love about this is that we are unified. Republicans are unified, you know? We're not unified with Democrats because Democrats are crazy. Democrats want your kids to wear masks in summer camp when it's 95 degrees. I'm not unifying with those people. I'm not uniting with them. I'm just not going to do it. They want me to wear a mask. I got a whole list here of Charlie Baker, the stuff he came out with last week, because I didn't really go through how nonsensical some of this stuff is. But they want you to do things that are wacky. They want you to do things that are symbolic and not scientific. They want you to be racist towards black people who think differently than Democrats want them to think. I'm not going to unite with Democrats who behave like that. I'm not going to unite with Democrats who call someone Uncle Tim because they disagree with his speech. I'm not going to unite with people who think it's okay to keep kids out of school for months on end when depression and suicide rates are skyrocketing and they don't care because it makes them feel good to stay locked down. I have no desire at this point in my life to unite with those people. But what I do love is that on our side of the aisle, the crazy Republican, you know, credulous Boomer Rube side, we are all pretty much on the same page. And that page is that we don't like Mitt Romney. And, you know, I just don't think there's a better way to start the week than to play Mitt Romney getting booed at the Utah GOP convention. This would be cut 12.
So what do you think about President Biden's first 100 days? Now, you know me as a person who says what he thinks, and I don't hide the fact that I wasn't a fan of our last president's character issues. Aren't you embarrassed?
Wait, did he just pull a
Sebastian?
He just tried to steal our sound cut. Aren't you embarrassed?
Aren't you embarrassed?
Whoa, Mitt. I have to say, I don't know if this means I'm getting less mature as I get older. Maybe I just don't have enough class, Jared. Maybe when they go low, I'm going lower. But that sound of those people booing Mitt Romney while he tries to talk over them, it really brings me a lot of joy.
Oh, that's the appropriate response.
Okay, because my heart is like growing in size and I'm like, this might not be good watching someone get booed and feeling this good about it. But damn, does he deserve it? These people put themselves in a bubble, these rhinos, where they think that they're speaking for their constituents. And they think that because the Washington Post says, oh, you know, he's the last Republican with a soul, that the average person thinks he's great. And that's just not the case. And I'm glad that he was able to figure that out. And also, I just want to say, I didn't see any video of this, but I don't think any tomatoes were thrown. So we kept it above board. To a certain degree. But it's a bigger question about this unity. They keep talking about unity and it's not happening. And there's a real reason it's not happening. The reason is because we don't want to unite with these ideas. I don't want to unite with a party that thinks America is fundamentally racist. You notice that Tim Scott said America is not a racist country. That's what really, really upset the liberals. Because that is their entire narrative. I think when Tim Scott said that, Antony Blinken might have got the vapors for a minute.
He said that we're not a racist country. We're going to show him by being racist towards him.
You just wait, Tim Scott. We are going to prove to you how racist we are. And it's true. And there's another story I want to talk about here. I've been talking to this guest trying to get him on the show. I wasn't able to do it today. But his name is Braden Ellis, and he was in a Zoom class with a teacher. And this just goes to show you, if you want to see why we don't want to unite with this radical, anti-American political party, then just listen to this sound. This is a student. His name is Braden Ellis, and he's arguing with his professor about the police. Cut 13.
I think cops are heroes, and they have to have a difficult job, but we have to have
all of them.
Life. Oh, I'd say a good majority of them. You have bad people in every business and every part.
Police officers have committed atrocious crimes and have gotten away with it and have never been convicted of any of it. And I say this as a person who has family members who are police officers.
Yes, I understand. And this is what I believe. This is my opinion. And this is, not popular to say, but I do support our police. We have bad people, and the people that do bad things should be brought to justice. I agree with that.
Now it goes on. You can hear in her voice. Can't you just hear it? She's triggered. That's the way to describe it. She's triggered.
Wait, was she the professor?
Yeah.
And he was a student?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The one who was screaming and interrupting and getting upset was the professor.
I shouldn't be surprised.
Probably the highly paid professor too, I would have to guess. Let's play cut 14.
Okay, so what is your bottom line point? You're saying police officers should be revered, viewed as heroes? They belong on TV shows with children?
I think they are heroes in a sense, because they come to your need and they come and help you, and they have a problem just like every other business, but we should fix that. But I think they're heroes. Well,
I think that's the problem, is looking at it as a business, because they're actually supposed to protect and serve the people.
They do protect us. Who do we call when we're in trouble and someone has a knife or a gun?
I wouldn't call the police.
Why wouldn't you call the police?
I don't trust them.
Who do you call? Ghostbusters? She actually answers who she calls. This is probably the craziest part. This is cut 15.
Okay, so what is your bottom line point? My license. More danger.
Who would you call?
In their presence.
Professor, who would you call?
I wouldn't call anybody.
Well, would you have... If someone intruded your house with a gun, would you have a gun on you? Or
no.
Who would you call?
It's my time to go.
It's my time to go. Wow.
But that's my point. That's my point, is that if you really believe your argument, if you really are confident in your ideas, you don't have to be so shrill and rude. And I can say that because I'm a woman. If Jared said that, it would be sexist, but I can say it. Just so you know. But that's the part of this. And a listener just sent me a text, and it says, this is a Margaret Thatcher quote. If they attack you personally, it means they have not a single political argument left. And I'm telling you right now, the Democrats do not have a single political argument left, because that woman just got destroyed by her student. And rather than embrace it, she just freaked out. And speaking of cops, I do want to play this cut as well, because I think it ties into it. This is Major Dingle. He's a cop. He's a black man. And he's so tired of the anti-police rhetoric in this country. Maybe that's part of the reason we're not uniting. It's because Democrats keep pushing this insane idea that all cops are racist and that this country is racist. Listen to this cop. Cut one, please, Jared.
I wake up every morning and kiss my family goodbye, knowing that there's a possibility I won't come home. I am tired of every time I wake up in the morning, there's someone else polarizing the fact that maybe law enforcement is just not a good thing. All of us are not bad. I am not as they are. Most of us are not. There are bad people in every career. I'm so goddamn tired. Tired.
And that's the part of this that we should all be worried about, because it's easy to say that defund the police is a stupid idea. We know that. But what happens when these cops don't want to do this anymore? We're seeing it happen in Seattle right now. They have the lowest, they have the lowest amount of cops available to send out to crimes since the 1980s. Because who would want to be a cop in Seattle right now? You'd have to be out of your mind. We're going to talk about this. We'll take Rob. Rob, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, how are you, Grace? Hey, real quick, you said you're talking about different people in the news. Ed Markey, he has a bill right now where he's going to fight for the Turkish rights of people that oppose the government.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, but he won't fight for the people that oppose our government now and our right. One of the lines in here is regular citizens who dare to voice criticism of their government. You know, and he's defending them, but what about Americans here that want a basic right and freedom of having criticism against our government? God, we need that, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's the point, Rob, is that Ed Markey is the government, and he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. He doesn't think that, you know, Democrats and the Green New Deal and packing the Supreme Court, I mean, that is all awesome to him. He just thinks all of these ideas are wonderful. So I think he would say to you, like, what could you possibly criticize?
Defend their rights over there to do it, but he won't defend our rights over here to do it. He's like, talking about hypocrisy, but we all know that liberalism, other than redefining the word stupid, hypocrisy is their main, you know, their main goal. And that's what they live for. But anyways, if you have a chance, read that bill.
I will, Rob, and I appreciate the call, and I welcome all the callers to join in with us right now before we have a guest on in the 1 o'clock hour, 844-500-4242. I think hypocrisy is a huge part of the liberal mentality right now. I mean, everything they do is hypocritical, but I think it was especially exposed during this COVID, because I've never seen so many stories every single day that expose not just the hypocrisy of their agenda and their policies, but the hypocrisy of the media. There's a story out today of an Asian man, I think an Asian American man, he was stabbed in the heart, and the media is trying to make this into an anti-Asian hate crime. And the reason that the white man stabbed this man was because he wasn't wearing a mask. So it had nothing to do with his race. It had to do with this insanity that has taken over our country. And there's a lot of talk about whether or not this is ever going to end. I was out today, Jared. Kids walking to school by themselves, mask on. It has infiltrated the mindset. It has become a religion. We're not talking science anymore. This is absolutely a cult. And one thing I want to tell people, keep waiting to put your mask on until you cross the threshold. Stop putting it on in your car, okay? I know it's more convenient to put it on your car, but don't give them that 30 seconds when you walk in. Anytime you're outside, you should be breathing in the fresh air. And that's a small win. It's a small win, but it's a win. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. It's beautiful out today, Jared. So when I see this warmer weather, I go, yes, I'm going to open my car windows, breathe in the fresh air. When you see it.
I don't have any fresh air because of my seasonal allergies. And this weekend, I actually was out. I was mowing the lawn. And when I came in, there was, on my sweatshirt, yellow dust, pollen, on the sweatshirt, which immediately had to come off, go into the laundry. But I was okay inside because I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which ionizes the air around you and cleans the air. It purifies the air and it gets rid of allergens and pollutants and viruses and things that make it nasty for you to breathe. So that was very, I won't say life-saving, but it was almost life-saving for me this weekend. My chest was on fire the whole weekend, except when I was with the thunderstorm.
I also have an experience with the thunderstorm this weekend. As you know, I'm usually consistently a fabulous cook. Everybody knows that about me. Unfortunately, I also consistently overcook things, burn things, and, you know, there's smoke in the apartment. There was smoke this weekend. I tried to make cookies, pretty basic, and I cooked them a little too long, and there was smoke everywhere. So I just turned on my Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and it really does. It just gets the air moving, and it, like Jared said, it
almost immediately.
almost immediately, I was shocked because I, you know, you think you have to open up all the windows, start fanning everything. And I did open the windows, but the Eden Pure just kicked it up a notch. It really took it to the next level. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE at checkout. Don't forget, it's the radio banner with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Your problem rooms will no longer be a problem. Your problem allergies will no longer be a problem. You'll be good to go. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take more of your calls. 844-500-4242. Are you feeling the unity right now in this country? When you walk around without a mask on and people hiss at you, are you feeling unified? We'll talk more about this on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
23% of Americans think that Joe Normalcy Biden has really unified the country.
Unity!
I'm surprised, because that was his whole shtick, you know? It was, he was going to unify us and he was going to eat chocolate chip ice cream. We know that he's eating chocolate chip ice cream. But the unity thing, not so much.
Thank you to 413 for that suggestion.
Dave Chappelle. Can never go wrong with Dave Chappelle. All right, so I do want to talk about the Biden administration a little bit here, because I don't know if you heard, Jared, but our vice president, Kamala Harris, has a new gig. And I know what you're thinking, guys. Well, that. And also, doesn't she have a job as the border czar? That she, you know, she hasn't visited the border. I think she talked to the president of Finland, but she, I don't know what that has to do with the southern border, but.
Did they find the root causes of the immigration in the Northern Triangle?
No, her.
With the prime minister of Finland?
No, her and Biden are trying to find the root causes of the immigration problem. And so what they're doing is they're avoiding mirrors at all costs, because they're really afraid they're going to find it one day when they walk by. But she has a new job, Jared. I think you'd be interested in this as a. And I don't mean this disparagingly, but as a space nerd, you might find this interesting. This is a tweet from Kamala Harris. As I've said before, in America, I'm just guessing she's laughing while she's tweeting. In America, we shoot for the moon. We plant our flag on it. In America, when we shoot for the moon, we plant our flag on it. I am honored to lead our National Space Council. So, whoever this is from Red State, Brad Slager, who I love, Brad Slager writes great stuff. He said, this is remarkable. The woman who cannot find our southern border will somehow be able to locate our planet's supernal satellite. Call me dubious. It is pretty crazy. I mean, what is her experience there with the National Space Council? Am I wrong?
I didn't even know there were mirrors to sleep with on the moon.
Jared, you're going to get yourself canceled. Yikes. All right. So on the other side, I'm going to talk to Carol Markowitz. And this is what we're focusing on in the 1 o'clock hour is the masks, because I have found that they told us we could take our masks off outside. Now, most normal people have had their masks off this entire time outside because I don't take my rules from Dr. Fauci. But what I'm seeing here in Massachusetts is people still have their masks on. In fact, in Brookline, they've decided to overrule the CDC. And they're going to keep the masks. We'll be talking to Carol Markowitz on the other side. We got tons of sound to get to. And a very special guest is back in Massachusetts. We'll be right back.